Welcome back to a new podcast for the Spiritual Guidance Training Institute. I'm Jan Lundy, and my colleague and co-founder for the Institute, Jeanette Banaschak, is with me today. Welcome, Jeanette.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening.
We're excited to have a conversation today about the importance of spiritual guidance, the need for people trained in spiritual guidance, considering the changing religious landscape of the United States and the global climate religiously throughout the world. So why don't we start with the changing religious landscape of the United States? Many people are familiar with the Pew Report, which has produced results every couple of years updating us on what segments of the population belong to certain religions or feel that they are unaffiliated or not thinking religiously at all. There's a lot of different categories that the Pew Report uses to identify people's current religious beliefs. And this landscape is changing dramatically. So, Jeanette, what is your belief about this importance of having trained spiritual guidance and accessibility to spiritual guidance on the part of the average person?
Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful question, Jan. Spiritual guidance, I just want to take a step back and say, if you haven't listened to our first podcast, we talk about what is spiritual guidance. And we see it as a vehicle for self-knowledge and others' knowledge. It's about self-awareness and others' awareness. Helps us to answer the questions, who am I, how am I in relationship to you, to myself, to the divine. And a big part of spiritual guidance is listening. Margaret Truxaw talks about listening and how when someone really hears us deeply, we feel nurtured, we heal, and we transform. And when someone pays attention to you when you're speaking, we connect with them and we connect with the divine in them. And so I think there are some skills around listening and caring for the other, but also caring for yourself, nurturing the other through the space that you create together, and ultimately through love, helping people to return to wholeness, helping them to change a previous thought pattern or break a destructive habit. I think these are really important today. What are you thinking, Jan?
I agree wholeheartedly. For me, as a spiritual guide in private practice, what I find many people come to spiritual guidance for these days, and perhaps it's the region of the country I live in, but I suspect, and I think the Pew Report backs it up, that there are more and more people who need support for this process, but may not be finding it through traditional means, especially traditional religious organizations within the U.S. and around the world. So many of the people who I sit with they would call themselves seekers, perhaps, looking for a spiritual identity or community, a belief system that feels very authentic to them. They have left or had differences with organized religion because their spiritual views feel their spiritual views don't quite fit into that particular mold. And what they come to spiritual guidance for quite often is just someone to listen to them, as you said, someone who can non-judgmentally, compassionately hear their story of their spiritual journey or questioning or doubt, their struggle, or their joy in finding an inner spiritual landscape and relationship with the divine that is very satisfying. So as these numbers increase, as the Pew Report tells us, more and more people than ever are identifying themselves as a spiritual but not religious, a spiritually eclectic, none, unaffiliated, and so on. So I know personally for me, so many of the people say, you know, I just don't have anyone to talk to about this, and I'm so glad that you are able to sit with me and journey with me and guide with me, because I have a lot of questions, and the support is key. I think really feeling listened to, really knowing that you are not alone on this journey, because people who journey outside of traditional religions can often feel very alone and isolated, even different or judged. So this charism has become more and more important today, I think, as so many people, as high as between 26 and 32%, according to the Pew, the most recent Pew survey on the religious landscape in America. So I feel that there's a very strong and growing need for people to be trained officially in spiritual guidance.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my perspective on that.
You know, one of the things as you were talking, I was thinking about when I sit with seekers, what are some of the questions they bring? What are some of the answers that they have? How do they access their own inner teacher? And one of the big questions is, what do I do next? Do I take this job? Do I not take this job? Do I commit to this relationship? Do I end a relationship? You know, these big questions. And in spiritual guidance, we call that discernment. So why spiritual guidance today? Because there are a lot of people who really do not have tools to help them to make wise decisions. You know, sometimes they'll make a decision based on process of elimination, or they'll base a decision based on a pros and cons list. But there is a wealth of information and tools and practices that, as spiritual guides, we can walk alongside seekers and ask questions and listen well to how the spirit is guiding their lives.
Absolutely. And so we come back to this idea of, you know, our culture continues to change on so many levels. There's so many decisions and opportunities, so many choices that can be made. Who do we trust to help journey with us, to help us make wise discernments? I think that's an important point. How do we find support for perhaps kind of an eclectic, out-of-the-box journey? There's this strong need for just support in general, listening in general, receptivity to really listen to the movement of the spirit in that person and help them hear that too. So they're not just moving through life quickly, they're developing a more contemplative, discerning mindset. And that's not always something that our culture supports. So sometimes we have to have a guide also who can help us do that, can show areas and ways to connect with our innermost being, especially in this age of, as Father Richard Rohr calls it, distraction. We're constantly drawn out, not thinking deeply, making quick decisions, and emotional decisions in terms of some very, very important things like our inner lives, as you mentioned, or relationships, or religious affiliation or not, jobs and so on. So it just seems the need deepens as our culture continues to change on so many levels. It really does call for more and more people to be trained in this way as excellent, compassionate listeners and guides.
Yeah, the image that's coming to me as you're speaking is that as guides, we mirror back to people what they say. You know, we're not necessarily providing answers or even questions back. I mean, sometimes, of course, there are questions involved, but we're seeing them. We're trying to see them for who they are. And seeing the divine in them then as they express their truth.
Absolutely, which moves me to the question, too, of diversity, religious diversity. Huge global changing landscape, again, about the most rapidly growing religious or groups in the world, and how much does anyone know about them, really know on the deepest level? We're thinking specifically of Islam, which is the fastest growing religion in the world. And our communities are changing in terms of diversity. We have a very large immigrant movement throughout the U.S. and in different parts of the world. European countries especially are experiencing a lot of immigration. And so how can we be more welcoming to our neighbor, our new neighbor? How can we begin to understand that they may believe differently from ourselves? And how do we find that common ground? I think that's one of the things that our institute is truly aware of. And that we really want to emphasize with all of our students that this is very important to have interfaith understanding today, interspiritual awareness of the commonality of experience. And so this is something, too, that I even notice in the people that I journey with individually. They're experiencing this. They have a child who's marrying someone of a different tradition, for example, or they're working with people from different traditions and belief systems, and they're not sure they know how to be with them in a generous way, in a compassionate way. So I think our training is very, very helpful in that vein too.
The value underneath your question of how can we be welcoming to others who are different than us is really about hospitality. And hospitality is one of those values that is shared among so many religious and spiritual traditions. And this is, you know, like you said, Jan, one of the things that we're really hoping to promote is what are the common ways, of living and of being. And it points to a universal civilization with a heart, Wayne Teasdale says. All of the inner workings, the emphasis on hospitality, on justice, on caring for others different than us. I mean, the reason we do those things is because we've had direct spiritual experiences, and they have opened our hearts, they've opened our minds. And like you said, how it looks on the outside might look different. The outer workings, the outer life, but really what's on the inside is quite similar.
And I think you raise an important point, and maybe it deserves clarification too, Jeanette. You talked about a universal civilization. One of the things that I think sends up a lot of red flags about people about perhaps even an interfaith or interspiritual focus is that, are you saying that we should all belong to the same religion? We should have a universal religion, and we're absolutely not saying that or advocating that. In fact, we're saying that the best thing for all of us, as the Dalai Lama talks about so often, is to honor our tradition, to be rooted in ways that we are spiritually sound, that we're clear about what we believe, and then to accept and embrace, show hospitality to others who are religiously, spiritually different than ourselves. And I think if we can even go one step further in terms of how we started the conversation, in terms of self-awareness, can we get to the point where we can actually appreciate this person's unique way of experiencing the divine? This is where we move into interspirituality. So I just wanted to make that point clear. We're not talking about everybody joining together to belong to one religion. No, no, no. It's how do we come to the table and be with each other in such a kind, compassionate, and hospitable way that we appreciate how we are similar as well as how we are different.
Yeah, that's great.
It's a big call. You know, this is not an easy thing for people.
You know, and I think the timing is, it just seems right now. We are at the dawn of a new consciousness. Teasdale says, he calls it the interspiritual age. We have an awareness about ecology and about the interdependence of things. We've moved from being, you know, nation-centered, ethnocentric, to being globally centric. And we care about having harmonious relationships. Like you said, we want to accept the differences. And so it just seems like providing training for people to become spiritual guides is just, it's right at the opportune moment.
It is. I agree wholeheartedly. And we're seeing that from our first response to our first residential institute and training, which begins in August, that the response has been marvelous and people seeing the value of this and wanting to have these skills to be with one another. So we are heartily encouraged, and we do invite you also, dear listener, to look deeper into what we have to offer, with more opportunities forthcoming, and hope that you will, with us, be way showers for compassionate care and hospitality in this ever-changing American and global landscape. So,
yeah, you can find us online at spiritualguidancetraining.com. We have a Facebook page. We have a blog. You can sign up for Universal Wisdom, and every week you'll receive a weekly inspirational message. And on the website, you'll find all sorts of information about us and how we connect with the larger world.
Absolutely, and we hope you will. And thanks so much, Jeanette. It was always great to talk about these things and clarify them for ourselves and for our listeners and our prospective students. So